Welcome, everybody. Can you please take a seat and we'll get going? First, I want to just welcome, Devin and I want to welcome you to tonight's seminar, if you will. Jerry and Pastor Dave asked us to put this on a few months ago, and we wanted to put it on sooner, but based on, you know, the calendar with Easter and everything, we waited till after so people could be in town that wanted to come to here, come to this event. So I am Steve Beezer, retired from the CHP, and
I'm Devin Chase, and I'm still currently working for the Orange County District Attorney's Office, and because I work in an attorney's office, I have to tell you that the views I express tonight are my own and do not represent the Orange County District Attorney, Todd Spitzer, or the office. Thank you.
And Jerry got us up here together because we both have mustaches and we're ex-cops. So, because he's also retired Torrance PD. So, but before we start, I want to open prayer. Father God, we're just so grateful for tonight, for the church opening up the doors for this seminar, Lord, and just so grateful for this body and the leadership here from Dave and Jerry and all the staff. And tonight, Lord, I want to thank you for Chris as well for his talents and him being here in the sound booth and keeping us moving. And Lord, tonight I just want to lift up our eyes and ears to hear what you want to tell us tonight, Lord, and just pray for patience on everybody because we're going to have a lot we want to cover. We don't have all the answers because it's constantly changing. So Lord, I just lift up those who also want to steal from us and who have stolen from us, Lord, that they would come to know you in a powerful, powerful way. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. So tonight, as we talk about how to avoid scams, part of what we're going to try and cover as well is how to prevent future scams. Because the truth is that the scammers are always learning. For example, it's probably been quite some time since a barrister told you that he had over $12 million in an overseas account that he had to get into the United States. We just don't see those emails anymore because they're the things of late night comedy and jokes and things like that. So we will tell you like some core examples. For example, please, 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 if you're ever going to buy a gift card, buy it for your grandson, your granddaughter, your son, your daughter. Do not ever buy a gift card for anyone who calls you on the phone, who sends you a letter in the mail, who messages you on Facebook, who does anything other than, like I said, you buy for your family member. If you ever have someone say, oh, by the way, can you go get me some gift cards? Immediately, your flag should go up. You should say, this is a scam. No professional in any business gets paid with gift cards.
And tonight, too, I failed to mention, too, that this is put on by the church at no cost to everybody here. Including all the copies you have, and because the church here is, wants to add value to your experience here at the church, to bring us closer to different ways in real time need, right? And this is one of the needs because if you haven't been, let me see a show of hands who's been scammed or know somebody who's been scammed. Yeah. Okay. So tonight we're also live on the website so that we know there's several people who cannot attend because it's late and such. So, and then there's going to be, it will be on the website for anybody who's not here, or if you want to view it later, if you think you missed something, it'll be on the website as well as the handouts that you have. Now we have a lot to cover tonight, and a lot of those handouts you have in there that we're not going to cover, but we will touch on them briefly so you know what it is that's in there. And our whole goal tonight is to give you information so you don't get scammed, so you don't become a victim. So this packet is hopefully enough information for you to avoid that down the road. But all these handouts will be on the website as well. So if you know somebody who wanted to come, or if you're here and you want the handouts, they will be on the website. Okay? I have one more folder if anybody... Okay. Sold. with that, I just want to give you a couple quick little facts on what's going on regarding scams and frauds. One in five elderly people over the age of 65 are robbed by a scam to the tune of $3 billion. $3 billion a year. The scams come in all shapes and sizes. They're constantly changing. Many people believe they're too smart to be scammed, but that's not true. You don't have to be a fool to be fooled, is what they say. And in 2022, there was almost $9 billion lost in scams on all age groups. And in 2022, the highest loss was incurred through investment scams. That was the highest thing that people used. The military community, whether you're active, if you're a veteran, their spouses and families, they're also hit at an alarming rate. And then text messages were the most common contact method. That's 22%, followed by phone calls, 20%, emails, 19%. So, among those reported losing money to a scam, the highest losses were through bank transfers, $1.5 billion through a bank transfer. Cryptocurrency, $1.4 billion. Wow. So
just in your packet, we've given you some terminology. Again, we're not going to go through every single thing in your packet. We're going to touch on those, but our intent was to give you tools as we talk about things to be aware of different aspects to how scammers are scamming. And to, again, let you know that it's constantly evolving, it's constantly changing. And so as we speak, we're going to want to make available time for you to ask us questions. If something that we say is like you're all of a sudden just completely lost, raise your hand. We obviously, with a crowd this size, if we answered every question for every person, we'd still be going Sunday, and Dave would get mad because he couldn't teach, because we'd still be going. But we'll try and answer as many questions as we can, and Steve and I are going to hang around afterwards as well. We don't want anybody leaving who's going, you know what, I'm still confused. That's our commitment to you is we want to be available. We want to be a resource to you. Who's heard the term phishing? And I'm not talking with a reel in the... It's P-H-I-S-H-I-N-G. Phishing. That's where they're trying to get data from you. You are to them, an object. And the more data they can get from you through phishing methods, the more likely you are to become a victim. Social media is a great thing. You can keep in touch with people. But the truth is that what's on your social media, if it's not private and locked down, becomes food for these predators. Call spoofing. Yeah.
Real quick, I'm sorry to interrupt you. So in your folders, we're going through the left side of the folder first, okay? So don't pull out everything right now. On the left side, go ahead if you want to do that, but the first document that we're going through is the Scam Glossary, FCC, Federal Trade Commission. So we're not going to cover every one of those words. Devin's going through them right now, but that is something you can reference later. Go ahead, Devin.
So call spoofing, who's aware of what that is? Basically, with our current computer systems, a person can come up with a phone number and call you pretending to be someone else. They can pretend to be a family member. They can spoof a number that belongs to a legitimate company. They can spoof a number that is very similar to your number. So you can't trust just because you get a phone call and your caller ID says that it's such and such a number, that that's actually who it is. Data breaches. We've all heard that. That's in the news. A data breach is just something where, in essence, a hacker is someone who breaks into computers. They're a burglar who doesn't have to leave their mom's basement. They break into a company, and it doesn't matter the size of the company. I mean, Discover Card is a huge company, and yet they've been hacked. They get in there, and then they get all your information and all your social security number, your mother's maiden name, all those things that you protect, and then those get published on what's known as the dark web. And so data breaches are dangerous to our information. But again, we're going to cover some topics because there's some things you can put in place that will protect you if your data is exposed. I said phishing. Well, there's a term called smishing. Okay? That's where text messages come in. Because a text message, if you're not aware, is called a SMS, like Sam, Mary, Sam. And so they've just taken that phishing word, and now they've put it on a text. So you'll get a text that might say something like, hey, your postal, we were just talking about this before. You get a text message that says, your postal package, your parcel's held up, and you need to click this link. And if you click this link, we can get you that parcel. And you're thinking to yourself, well, I haven't ordered anything. But you're curious because obviously maybe somebody sent you a package. And so you click on that link. The amount of information that they can get from you just clicking that link out of curiosity can basically be devastating. They can start to basically get your data from something like that. Malware. Malware is a term where it's basically mal means bad. And so software is what we put onto our computers. Malware is what the hackers put on. So if you, for example, go to Starbucks and you use their free Wi-Fi and you don't have a unique code, a hacker sitting in Starbucks has the ability to log into your computer and infect it with malware so that when you go on the internet, in essence, from then on, every time you connect to the internet, even back at home, your computer is basically broadcasting all the information on your computer and everything you're doing on your computer back to the hacker. That's what malware does. Spyware, very similar to malware. And then we'll talk more about this, but the robocalls. Computers can now call you, and you've probably seen it because in the press they've been making a big deal about it. AI, artificial intelligence. The reality is that this technology exists right as we speak today, that if a hacker can gather as few as 20 seconds of your speech, they can basically create your voice and a full vocabulary for your voice. And so we're entering an era where you could receive a phone call from someone who identifies as a family member of yours, and they sound just like your family member. And they're basically going to start scamming you because you'll believe you're having a conversation with your family member. And your family member has no clue because they didn't call you. We will talk about some techniques you can use that can avoid you becoming a victim of this, which is already here.
And there's just a couple more terms, fraud and scam, right? That's the whole title of our training. Both of those words are very interchangeable, right? Fraud and scam. But fraud is if you can look at it, fraud is a bigger over umbrella kind of term. And scam or scamming is one type of fraud. So elder fraud, there's charity fraud, there's disaster fraud. I mean, that's one of the big ones, right? The big one that just came up because of COVID was COVID fraud. And they, you know, they would send you messages, send you an email, and they're pulling on your heart, pulling on your heartstrings, which is, we're going to kind of segue into that right now, is the methods they use, right? So there's a document in there. Again, it's on the left-hand side, and it's called Methods Used to Deceive and Defraud. Again, we're not going to go through all these, but I just want to point these out to you as we go so you can kind of reference these later. Again, you can feel free to share these too with relatives, friends, neighbors. But there's always, a lot of times, there's urgency to a message you get. I'll give you an example. My dad, who has passed away 5 years ago, about 7 years ago, though, you know, he knows me. I was a police officer for 30 years, and he gets a phone call of one of my brothers who says, this caller says, hey, your son Mike and your grandson Dave, these are all accurate terms, my brother's got a son named Dave, they're in Mexico, they're involved in a crash, and he can't use his phone right now, he needs money right away for us to help him out medically. My dad went to Western Union, wired $3,000, went back home and didn't call anybody first. Went back home, he got another call because they figured they got $3,000, might as well try it again. They tried again. My dad went back to Western Union, and the kid behind the counter, praise the Lord, says, wait a minute, what are you doing? And he said, this is a scam. You just lost money that you just sent. Then my dad called my brother. And my brother Mike goes, no, I'm sitting at home in San Clemente. You know? but they pull on urgency right now, whatever it might be. You got to do this right now. You're going to lose your bank account. You got to do this right now. You're going to lose your cell phone number, whatever it might be. And then they tug on your emotions, right? Your loved ones has been injured, or you're going to lose something out. You're going to lose your bank account. You're going to lose this or that, and so they pull on your emotion to get you to react without thinking. That's one thing that we always trained on in law enforcement, right? You train, so when you respond, it's automatic, and they know you're not trained in this stuff. So, and then the fear, right? They tug on fear. They scare you into giving money, to giving your information so they can steal your identity. And then, hey, can you help us out? You know, we've had this disaster, or I only need $20 for my kid to get a book at school, or right? And you do that, then you're not only going to lose the $20, and they're probably going to call back and ask for $100, but now they have all your information. So now they might, you know, steal your identity and that kind of stuff. So, and you never get money for nothing, right? So here is a thing I got when Dev and I were preparing for this. This is a Costco survey that I got at home on my email. And I thought you'd be interested in knowing the actual title of the email address. And it's Costco Reward. And it says laughing at n4funnyeditor.com. Mm-hmm. Now I'm thinking to myself, if I were to click on that, they're going to be laughing. And it says, you're going to get $100 if you respond to this survey. When has Costco ever given you $100 for nothing? Never, right? So,
if you can just remember urgency, emotion, fear, help, and money for nothing, if you can put those into your working memory and think, if someone is bringing something and it's urgent, if they're trying to give you money for nothing, if they're trying to pull an emotion, it's your family member who has just been arrested, it's your family member whose car is broken down, it's your family member who's in the hospital. Those should be triggers to you, warning flags that go up. And it's always going to be urgent. The reason for that, and Steve alluded to it, in law enforcement, part of what our training is to move the emotion out. That's why sometimes cops get accused of, you know, hey, just the facts. But they train emotion out of us for certain situations, because here's a truth about the human brain. When you're emotional, you can't think cognitively. Your emotions are operating and you can no longer think cognitively. And so that's why a good counselor, for example, will tell you after a major life event, don't make any major decisions because you're emotional. So when you all of a sudden get that email or that text message or that phone call and it's urgent, immediately, as hard as it is, because you care for that person or that is that situation, you have to take a step back and say, why is this urgent? And let me double check everything. Okay? So one of the ways, and we're going to talk for a second now about phone scams. Okay? I mentioned spoofing. They can fool you with different numbers. And with the new artificial intelligence that is here, they can even fool you with voices. So the best practice is this. Don't answer your phone if you don't know who it is. Okay? My father-in-law lives with us, and he's extremely elderly, and I hear him all the time on his cell phone. And he's talking away, and I sometimes have to walk in and go, "Dad, who are you talking to?" You know? The truth is that if the cell phone rings, don't answer it if you don't know who it is. There's this thing, it's been recently invented, it's called voicemail. And if it's important, guess what they're going to do? They're going to leave you a voicemail. If you are on a phone call, do not ever give out any of your personal information. That means home addresses. That means social security numbers. That means date of births. There's no reason that, you know, if Citibank calls you and you have a Citibank card, guess what they already have? They have all that information because you filled it out when you got your card. They're never going to ask you for all that information because they already have it. Here's a trick because of the AI. I know you probably love having your cell phone say, "Hey, this is Devin. Leave a message. I'll get back to you." The truth is that in today's day and age, you probably should switch off your personal message, and all the cell phone companies allow you to basically just have a generic message. And you don't even have any clue who it is that's answered the phone. I mean, your voicemail should just be the generic, "You've reached this number, leave a message," and let the cell phone do it. Don't even use your voice. Because again, they can start to use your voice to create digital fake voices of their own. And then get in the habit, even in an emergency, of saying, "Hey, I'll call you back." For example, in that Steve's story he shared about his father, you get the phone call from someone who says, "Yes, it's an emergency. So-and-so is, you know, in a Mexican jail." And at that point, say, "Okay," hang up, and then you have that person's cell phone number, right? You have their contact information. Call them using the number that you already have. If it's a credit card company and the credit card company says, "Hey, you know what? You need to do such and such, and by the way, we need your social security number and this and that." On your credit card, on the back of that Discover card, what has it got on that? It's got a phone number. Hang up with whoever called you and call that number and say, "Hey, I just received a phone call from someone purporting to be from Discover. They say there's a problem with my account." And talk to a real person based on the number that's on your credit card. Okay.
And the key to all this, if you haven't picked up, is you have time, right? They make it sound like you don't have time, like the world's going to fall apart, you know, California's going to sink in the ocean if you don't respond right away. Well, it's hardly ever, ever true, okay? And the bank or somebody is not going to call you and ask you for that information. They're going to send you a letter, maybe. They don't even do email. They'll send you a letter. So just be aware of that. Be aware you have time. In your folders, there's another document. Again, it's on the left side. It's called 10 Common Phone Scams. And again, we're just giving you information so you can go back. I'm not going to read all these, but we're trying to give you tools to survive in today's world. So for example, some of the methods they're using now is the free gifts, right? Whether it's an email, a text message, whatever, or you've won the lottery. And right now, of course, it's a little bit late, IRS, you know, around this time of year, if you can remember this next year, there's scam artists out there. Hey, if you give us $100, you know, we'll clear up your IRS information that's all wrong. Or, you know, you screwed up, IRS is going to come after you, they're going to arrest you. They're never going to, IRS is not a threat, does not threaten to arrest anybody, okay? We won't talk about the FBI. But. Did I say that out loud? And again, the banks aren't going to call you. There's charity scams. There's debit scams, right? Family emergency scams. Scammers claiming to be even a grandchild. And like Devin said, the technology is so good these days that they can actually mimic a grandson or a granddaughter's voice. So, like Devin said, if you get one of those, Devin, we were talking earlier, you could just go, oh, hang on a minute, I'm going to step into another room, or hang on a minute, hang up, call the actual number back to whoever supposedly is in dire need, and talk to your relative or your friend or whatever. As we're standing here today, as we're sitting here today, tomorrow or sometime this week, there's going to be a new scam that we don't know about. So you just got to be, just remember, no matter how they dress it, no matter how they put makeup on it, it's still a thief and trying to get your money or your ID. And there's a recovery scam we talked about, you know, disasters, Red Cross. Obviously, Red Cross is a legitimate organization, but if you want to give to them, if somebody calls up and says, hey, I'm from Red Cross, can you give me $100? Hang up, and if you want to give, get on Red Cross's website. Okay, don't do that kind of stuff over the phone, all right? Because you're going to give a credit card number, you're going to give a social security number, because you're not thinking, and now they have your ID. So,
government agencies send letters. They're old-fashioned that way. So parking tickets, moving tickets, a old arrest warrant from a time you don't even remember, it doesn't come with a phone call. So in the email scams, phishing is what they're after. They're trying to get information from you. And so in an email, unlike a phone, they're trying to get you to verbally give them information. In an email, they want you to click a link, or they want you to click a file, a picture, a PDF, document, a Word document, anything, or just a web page address. If they can get you to click into it, oftentimes that's all they need, because that picture, that PDF, that Word document, those can be used to basically infect your computer. So when you get an email, they all have the header up at the top. But again, the header up at the top, like Steve was saying, the email he got from Costco supposedly said it comes from Costco, but when you look at that email address, it's not coming from Costco.com. It's coming from, what was it, laughing at you?
Laughing at you, take it for your money.
Yeah. So the reality is you could get a email from someone you believe is a family member or a friend, and it says, hey, check out these pictures I want to share with you. And there's a link there. And the crooks want you to click on that link. The way to do it safely is to look and see, did that really come from my friend? And to be really, really cautious, you actually call your friend and say, hey, friend, did you just send me a random email with some pictures that you want me to look at? And what's your friend going to say? No. Because usually if you're expecting pictures from a friend, you're expecting pictures from a friend. Okay? Does that make sense?
And you're, again, on the left side. Sorry, I keep putting you this. Only as I want to point out to you that we have a couple documents on the left side of your folder about phishing. One just has some definitions, some examples of how these crooks will try to get your money and your identity. And then there's another one by Norton. It's phishing email examples. And these are just examples that you can look at later of example emails on how they fake you. And how they get you. But if you look at them closely, you know, a lot of times there's words spelled wrong, there's words missing, that doesn't make sense, like the sentence doesn't make sense, unless like a two-year-old wrote it. sorry, Devin. We're great friends, so I get to joke with them. But like Devin said, if you just hover over the address where it came from, probably 95% of the time you're going to be able to identify that this is a fake email. But those two documents are in there about phishing, so you can look at those later.
And again, the IRS doesn't send you emails. No police department's sending you emails. No one is giving you something for nothing. And in essence, remember this: you're loved by God. Everyone else is suspect.
You know, and that is so true. You know, it's unfortunate in today's society that you have to be, you have to have your guard up constantly. I mean, emails, look at how many emails you get that if you click on the wrong button, your computer's infected, right? Same thing with phone calls. They pull at your heart. And as soon as they got that and you respond without thinking a couple seconds like my dad did, you can stand to lose a lot of money. So right now, that covers, go ahead.
Just again, I have saved some just recently in preparation for this class. And for example, I got sent an email that basically said, my account failed to sync. Click this button to get it to sync. I'm like, okay, well, I don't need my email to sync with anybody, but... okay. I got one today from Intuit, the TurboTax people, that basically said that they were thanking me for paying my invoice of $400 and some. And the purpose in that is, all of a sudden now, emotion, wait a second, somebody, I just paid somebody $400 for a bill I don't know about. Emotion, it's urgent. It says if you didn't pay, if this wasn't something that you purchased, click on this link right away. Urgency. So emotion, urgency. Trying to get me to click on a link for a fake Intuit invoice. Your anti-malware software has expired. Your McAfee, your Norton. Guess what? It's a scam, okay? It's a scam. Usually with those, what will happen, like if you clicked on the link for your McAfee being expired and you're thinking to yourself, I don't even have McAfee, but I guess if it's expired, I better click. When you click, you're probably going to get a phone call from someone, and what that person on the phone call is they're going to say is, oh, I'm going to need to download some software onto your computer so I can take over your computer for a second. And then they will have you, if you allow them, do a few things, and next thing you know, your mouse is moving around and it's not you. They're in control of your computer. And once they have into your computer, everything on your hard drive, all your bank statements, all your passwords, every single thing on your computer in a matter of seconds is going to be on their computer. And it's going to be a major problem for you to undo that. The quickest way to avoid that is don't ever let anyone get control of your computer. Okay? That it's just too dangerous.
You know, and they try to, as you all know, they try to pull on your heart, right? A grandkid is hurt. Your child is missing. Whatever it is, you know. So they try to get you to react without thinking. So if you can just step back and think a minute, well, wait a minute, why would my son or my daughter or whatever, my loved one, do that? You know, just take a step back and think and get off the phone and call, you know, call your loved one, you know, because they're so good at this. They know your family's names. Like in my case, my dad, they knew my brother's name and his son, my dad's grandson. So they pull at your heart and they get you to react without thinking. On the emails, how to get less spam in your email, there is a handout there for you guys to look at. Before we move on, just wanted to point them out to you. This is now on the right side of your folder. So there's some handouts in there about phishing email examples, how they get your ID. Designates an unsolicited, unwanted email in your inbox as spam. This will block future emails, right? So once you block an email that you have that you know is fraudulent, once you mark it as spam, then it'll go to your trash or go to your spam automatically. Okay, you can kind of avoid some of these things. And don't feel, what they do is they pull at your purse strings, right? Your heart. They pull at your heart, I should say, they pull at your heart to get you to donate something, to respond to something without sitting back and thinking just for a minute. You know, like my dad. My dad was, you know, my dad was taken for $3,000. So, and be careful about attachments. A lot of times, emails are okay if you click on it, but once you start clicking on stuff on the email, then they got you. And your computer's going to be infected, they got you. So just be careful about that.
Want to move to text? All right, so text scams are similar in phone scams in that, but instead of phishing, they're smishing. And they can also use artificial intelligence to generate text messages. And in essence, what these scammers do is there are bots or computer-generated programs where they can send out tens of thousands of text messages every second. And they're just waiting for the one person who hasn't had a class like this and who clicks on the link or who responds to that text message. So just like with phones, if you get a text message just randomly from someone who says, hey, your number's in my contact list, but I can't remember who this is, you know, or they'll say something like, hey, this is Pastor Dave, and I need to get in touch with you to handle something for the church. But if you look, the phone number isn't even, and I don't know if Pastor Dave's got a local number, but it's not a local number. You know, the area code on that text message is like from, I got one recently from Pastor Dave, and it was the 707 area code. So I'm guessing that that's not Pastor Dave in the 707 area code. So there's things you can pay attention to, but the bottom line is, if you get a text message and it's not from someone you know, and know because that phone number will show up, it's in your contacts, and it'll say their name, it won't say the number. If you just get that random number, treat it like a phone call from someone you don't know. Just don't respond. If it's somebody and it is urgent, guess what? They're gonna come and try and get back to you, okay?
Or in that case, like Devin just said, you don't respond to that, but you go into your contacts and you contact that person directly, mm-hmm. right? And say, hey, did you send me a text message or whatever asking such and such? That's how you can verify. Don't feel like you have to respond to all these things, especially right away. Time is on your side. Same thing in law enforcement. That's what we're always trained. Time usually is on our side, right? So whether you're waiting for a backup, whatever, you know, so same thing with you. Time is on your side. Don't feel like you have to respond to something instantly.
So an example of a text message I got Easter morning. Happy Easter. How are you doing today? very innocuous, but what that message probably got sent out to tens of thousands of people. And the only reason they're doing that is they're hoping at least one person says, "Who's this?" Or, "I'm doing fine." Because as soon as they've got you, it's fishing is the term. They got the hook into you, and smishing is the term that they took for text messages. Think of it that they just got the hook into you because you answered. Okay? Now, I'd love to go share the gospel with whoever sent me a message for Happy Easter on Easter morning. But the reality is that they're not interested in that. What are they interested in? Targeting me or targeting you.
And the criminal always wants your identity or your money, right? They're going to steal your identity so they can steal money from you later or use your name and your credit to purchase stuff or whatever it might be. Or they're going to steal from you right in front of your face. You know, they're going to pull on your heartstrings and they're going to steal from you. So just remember, time, the same thing we were always trained, time is always on your side. There's no reason to jump into something without thinking. But they pull on your heartstrings, they pull on your emotions, and they get you to respond without thinking. Like my dad. My dad could have easily got off the phone, and he did, and he drove over to Western Union, but he could have called my brother and said, "Mike, are you okay?" Right? Or he could have called one of my other siblings and said, "Hey, I heard from Mike, and he might be hurt," or, you know. So just remember that. There's resources and time. Like in law enforcement, we're trained, time is always on your side. So the longer you wait, it's not going to hurt you. The longer you wait is better, okay? Especially on something that you have no idea where it's coming from.
The UPS or U.S. Postal Service or FedEx emails exist, but so do text messages. I got one from the U.S. Postal Service that I'll read verbatim because it talks about some of the stuff about bad grammar. Message: your package will be returned due to missing address details. Please update the address in time. And then it's got a link for me to click to update the address so that my package will be delivered. Bad grammar. This is typical because a lot of these people aren't even operating in the United States. You can basically, the internet's connected worldwide, and so people from other countries love to prey on us because we make good victims. Here is a kind of the email Steve got from Costco. CVS actually wanted to give me $100 today if I click this link for sharing an opinion about CVS. Okay? Yeah, my opinion is shorten your receipts. They are gonna come after emotions. One of the strongest emotions is loneliness. A text I got, and I'm not lonely, I'm very happily married, but somebody doesn't say male or female, it just says, "Would you like to come to Napa to enjoy wine with me at the weekend?" Okay?
The area code is 660.
Yeah, 660. But the reality is that is playing, again, to an emotion. The emotion in this one that it's playing to is loneliness. They hope that if they send out 10 or 20,000 of those and it hits someone's text message that happens to be lonely, that they'll think, "Oh, wow, somebody wants to go have wine with me in Napa this weekend." Okay? God loves you. Everyone else is suspect. Okay?
And don't forget, too, that they're going to send you messages, right? And it could be even just one number off, right? So you got to be really, really careful before you respond. Because a lot of these things are bogus or false text messages. And even if you get something from a company you normally deal with, like every day, or even a relative or something like that, there's ways you can look at either where the phone number is, you can look at the address to see where it's coming from. Like some of these addresses that he was, you know, there are a bunch of letters and numbers that make no sense, right? So you know it's not somebody you know. And so if you get something like that, Just remember, time is always on your side. Go to your credit card or whatever, go to your regular emails and look up a number and call the company. Go, hey, am I doing this? Or you call your relative, did you just send me something? So just remember that, time is always on your side.
Ready to move on to mail?
Yeah.
Okay, so there are still scammers who do it the old-fashioned way with the mail that comes into your mailbox. And so usually those scams begin with the theft of your mail. So they're going to get into your mailbox, they're gonna steal your letters, and once they get a hold of your information, you also have to be aware that one of the things bad guys will do is submit a change of address and actually change your address to another location. I was actually the victim of an identity theft last year, where basically we're going to talk about a way that you can monitor what mail is coming to you. And I get mail every day. Well, all of a sudden, I notice that my wife's getting mail, my father-in-law is getting mail, but all of a sudden, I'm not getting any mail. And so I contact the post office, and what do I find? They're like, oh, you submitted a change of address to an address in Texas. And I'm like, no, I didn't. And then all the fake credit cards and all that started hitting my credit reporting services. So be aware that they can steal your mail. They can then use that information and then submit a change of address. And next thing you know, you don't live at the house anymore. And all those fake credit cards and all the things that they're using to steal from you are going to another address.
Don't answer that phone. It's a scam. But what Devin was saying, too, is so true. So on the mail end, get your mail out of your mailbox every day. I don't care if it's a locked box or a regular box. You should, because those keys could be easily duplicated. Get your mail out of your mailbox every day. Don't put mail in your mailbox for somebody to come by and steal it, right? Take it to the post office, whatever, but do not leave it in your mailbox for somebody to take. Shred your mail. Any mail that's got identifying information on it should be shredded. Doesn't take that long, right? It's pretty quick. Just tear it up, but shredding is usually the best, obviously. And then the current scam is obviously stealing checks from your mailbox. So if you put a check, like to, you're paying a bill, and you put in your mailbox, and it's to Cox, let's say, and it's for $100. Well, Cox, I mean $300. And you put in your mailbox, and somebody steals it, they can whitewash the check. They have ways, techniques to get away with, take away the dollar amount or add a one to it, and now it's $1,300, $1,200, whatever, and it's in their name, not in Cox. So the very easy way to do that is just take your mail and take it to the post office. It's really, really easy. And then there's another thing, what Devin was talking about earlier was they have a thing at the post office. Have you guys heard of informed delivery? Who's heard of informed delivery? Good. Okay, it's really simple. I believe there's a handout in your. Oh, there is, but it's later on. It's in the resource piece of paper. But you just go to USPS.com, and you can sign up for informed delivery. And what that is every day that they deliver your mail in the morning, first thing in the morning, you'll get copies of every envelope that's coming, and you'll know who it's coming from. It's a great service, doesn't cost you a dime, so you can sign up for that. Again, that's in the handout. I think it's more towards the back. I think it's under resources. It's a single piece of paper. We'll get that at the very end, but just know that. So you can avoid all these problems by just knowing what's coming in your mailbox.
If you don't have informed delivery, I can't stress how important it is that you sign up for that. Because you literally every day you're in your email, you will get, and it's actually pretty, for the Postal Service, it's really good quality. I mean, you get an exact picture of every single letter that's coming. Because that's what the crooks will also sometimes do, is if they're going to steal your mail, they might not steal all of it, because then that would be obvious. But if you have like a bill from a credit card or something where they can get good data off of you, they'll just steal that. Well, if you have informed delivery, you'll see that, hey, my credit card bill was coming today, or my paycheck was coming today, or this important item from, you know, the Social Security Administration was coming today. And I got the junk mail, I got the bills, but I didn't get that important letter. And you'll know you didn't get it because it will be in your morning email, but it won't be present in your mailbox. So I can't stress how important informed delivery is.
And we have some additional handouts on the right side that we're not going to cover tonight. It's almost 7. But we've covered all the main topics that we wanted to hit so far. But no, there's handouts in there about lost or stolen credit cards, ATM, you know, what you can do. And there's phone numbers, and we're trying to give you as much educational material as possible, so you can go to battle, you know, because it's a battle, and you got to be on your toes almost every day. So, but there's a couple more things that we're going to talk about. One is the skimmers, which is one of our definitions we have in your folder, but not, you don't need to go back there. But like when you go to an ATM machine or you go to a gas station. Before you use that card, look at the machine, just take a couple seconds, and pull on that thing. Not super hard, don't pull out your hammer and beat it to death, but just give a little bit of tug. And if it's fake, it's going to just kind of fall off, because all they are is little devices that go over the top of what normally is the slot where your credit card goes in. So just be aware of that. And then, so just everywhere you go, there's a thief around the corner. They sit around 24/7, 365 days a year, trying to figure out how to rip you off, okay, of your hard-earned money, your savings, whatever. So just be aware of that. And then one of the new scams right now they have is that if you go to an ATM machine, whether it's a bank or whatever, there are people that will hang out until you show up, and they're acting like they're using the machine next to you, right? And you're using the machine, and it'll distract you. You put your card in, you type in your PIN, and you start making a transaction. They'll distract you, and they'll say something like, oh, that one machine's not working, or it's out of money, whatever. Hey, why don't you come over and use this one? And you'll walk away, and you'll leave it open. And they steal from you. It's like somebody walking in your house and stealing from you, right? So you just got to be aware of that.
The thing, too, with the scammers and their skimmers is that when you go like to a grocery store and you're gonna pay, and they have that little box basically that you can tap or run your card, scammers have created skimmers that will lay right over the top of that, and they can put those on. And in fact, if you are curious, you can go on YouTube. There's lots of videos showing these surveillance videos of these crooks. Literally, they'll go through the line, make a purchase, and it takes them less than 4 seconds to pull out in essence, a cover that goes right over the top of that credit card device that's in Vons or Ace Hardware or Home Depot or any of those places. Less than 4 seconds, they put that on there, and then every single person who comes through afterwards, when they tap or run their card, the crooks get an exact copy of all that information. And if you punch your numbers in with a debit card, they're now getting your PIN number. So when we talk about tugging and pulling, just get in the habit. And again, this becomes kind of a pain, I'll admit it. But the reality is you have to pay attention and actually look at that device. Like I was in Trader Joe's the other day, and I noticed that they have a big clip now that clips on there, that you can see that there's this ginormous clip. And so I looked at it and I go, well, that there's nothing over the top of it. Some stores put those anti-theft tape, like gas stations and things like that, they'll put the tape over it, that if someone were to move it or whatever, it'll break or you won't see the tape. But again, don't get your hammer out. You know, don't get a screwdriver and a claw hammer and start trying to pull the thing apart. Literally, the way they slip these things on is you could just touch it and wiggle it and it would come off. Just get in the habit of looking, inspecting, because there's crooks out there that will take advantage of it. How many of you get an alert on your credit cards for everything you spend? Okay. In your handouts, I put a handout in there that gives like the major credit cards how to set up spending alerts. Every credit card company out there now has a service where they will do spending alerts. Don't set your spending alert at $300 to catch your spouse when they go over whatever your, you know, agreed upon amount is. Set it at $1. Okay, or some will even let you set it at zero. So even if somebody spent 50 cents, mine are all set to a dollar. And the reason I have mine set to a dollar is that every single time I use my credit card, my phone gets a text message. And that text message says, I just basically spent whatever. It's so quick and so efficient that, like, if I'm at a restaurant and I pay the bill where the waitress takes my bill, my phone will start buzzing when she's or he is just run my card. If I'm in line at Home Depot and I make a payment, my phone will buzz in my pocket at the time I'm touching the reader. The benefit of that is that, let's say your phone buzzes and you see, hey, I am not at a fish market in Miami, Florida, and I didn't just spend $35. Because what the crooks will do is they will test the credit card numbers that they get, because they're getting them off the dark web. They're getting them from sources where people have stolen your credit card through like a skimmer that we just talked about. And then they'll test, and they might only spend a couple dollars just to see, is this card good? And if it's good, then they're off at Best Buy buying, you know, new 8K TVs that you can't afford, but they're buying them. So take advantage of all the credit card companies' ability to literally send you a text the second any spending is done on your card.
And again, we're up on time, so. There was a few documents I just wanted to point out to you that are on the right-hand side. There's one on cryptocurrency that you can read about and how they scam you from that. And then there's also two documents. One talks about the 7 tactics criminals use to penetrate fraud. That's a good article. And then there's one by AARP. I think it's right behind that one, and it's the 14 top scams. And we talked about a lot of those already tonight. So again, these are things for you to go back and really arm yourself, if you will, so to protect yourself. And here we are, right? Here we are talking about frauds and scams. I'm not a member of AARP. I just wanted you to know. I'm not quite there yet. But let me see who this is addressed to. Oh, Carol Beezer. I'll pay for that one later. But in this month's bulletin, it's multiple pages about frauds and scams and how to survive and how to avoid them. So it's a good article to get. But there's other, besides the AARP, you can go to the FBI website. They have great articles. The Federal Trade Commission, AAA, has great information on there for you to avoid being taken. The Better Business Bureau, we talked about it, the USBS, and then the Mail Department. It's informed delivery is the name of that once you click on their website. And if you need help, there's helplines out there. And it's a document that we put in the folder. So all this stuff is in there. There's a phone number there for you. There's victim support if you feel like you need that, if you're a victim of theft. And there's a credit credit card report. If you want to check on your credit, we've included a phone number for you to call, and you can check on your credit, get your credit report, because that helps you. If somebody has stolen your identity or stolen your credit card, you might not know it right away. So just some more tools for you. And then the last one we included was identity theft. So if your identity has been compromised, there's the Department of Justice, and there's different governmental websites you can go to that will help you out.
You also have a little guide I put together for protecting yourself with Wi-Fi, Bluetooth, and cell phone protection. The reality with Wi-Fi is that it's super convenient, and you go into the coffee shop and it's free. Whenever anything's free, you are the product, okay? So when a company gives away free Wi-Fi, it's because you're the product. Now, they can data mine off of you and not be quote-unquote stealing from you. They're just data mining off you. But there are crooks and hackers who will steal off of you. If you're on a free Wi-Fi system, they can access your computer. They can access your tablet. They can, in some cases, even access your phone. So don't use free Wi-Fi unless there is a unique password. And a unique password means a unique password to you. It's not the password of the day that the barista came up with. It's not the word password, because everybody, you know, and their mother knows that that's the password. So don't use free Wi-Fi unless there's a unique password. With Bluetooth, this is a scam that's just emerging. You might have even seen some news articles about it. But at airports and again, places where people gather, and everyone now doesn't want to carry the plug. They just want basically their USB charger. Those USB chargers at airports and at public locations can be compromised. And in essence, when you plug your USB charger to recharge your tablet or your phone or your computer, in essence, that Bluetooth and your charging cord becomes a device that can suck all the data off your device. So when you're traveling, when you're at the local coffee shop, when you're at the airport, bring your little plug, because if you plug your plug into an electrical outlet, they haven't figured out how to steal that yet. But don't recharge off a free Bluetooth charger. And then the last thing with your cell phone, if you're using your cell phone and you're at the airport or a coffee shop or someplace and a pop-up message comes up, again, just think, okay, why should a pop-up message come up on my phone? You're the product, okay? Just, it goes back to what we've been saying, don't click, okay? Just close it out, eliminate it, okay?
And just remember, time is on your side, okay? I want to thank Devin before we open this up, but Devin's been a great help in this whole thing, and Chris back there. But is there any, and Pastor Dave, thank you for you and Pastor Jerry for hosting this for the church, and I hope it was useful and beneficial to everybody here. But is there any questions we can answer for a couple minutes? Yes, ma'am. Yeah, and that is key, is, again, time. So they try to get you to respond instead of just hanging up and calling your bank or whatever to find out, is this true? Because if you call the number on the credit card or the number you have, they're going to give you the truth. You tell them what's going on, right? Don't rely on some random person that's going to try to steal it from you.
Because all of those Zelle, Venmo, all of those are very convenient, but they can also be utilized by a scammer to basically draw out all your money through that account.
Yeah. There was, yes, ma'am. No, there's information you don't have to give them, right? You can just say, hey, I don't feel comfortable giving that to you. They're not going to decline the service, but you're in control of your own identity, right? And your own pocketbook, so to speak, from being stolen.
Yes. I have an iPhone, and I've received some calls from overseas. A few times I never answer them, but what I decided to do is just hit, can I call you later? You know, sending the message from the iPhone without answering the call, per se. And I figured if it was really somebody I know, they would call, respond.
Yeah, I won't even respond. Because if it's important enough, they're going to leave a message. Right? Plus, if you don't recognize the number, if it's overseas.
It's Venezuela or Nigeria. Yeah.
No, that's a scam. Don't even do that. I won't even do that. Just stay away from it, because they're going to go to the next person who's an easy target. Right? Like Devin. Yes, sir.
I'll repeat the question. Is there anything being done to capture these people? The reality is that yes, but no. And the reason I say yes, but no is yes, there are detectives who work these cases, but for example, I'm aware of a local detective at a large police department that basically has two detectives that work this. And literally, if you took their files and put them on the ground, not on the table, if you put them on the ground, they would be this high. And all, in my case, I did a little detective work myself. I got the address and the names of the people who changed my address. I handed it to the detectives. That was last year, and we're still moving forward. And I'm in the business. So,
how about two more questions, and then we'll make ourselves available for afterwards.
Another source for possible scams are petitions outside of supermarkets or stores that gather information that may not go where you want it to go.
Yeah, you have to be a police officer. You have to be aware. You have to stand. I'm being facetious, obviously, but you always have to be on guard right now, because it's almost like giving somebody the key to your house, right? Would you do that? No. Would you give some stranger that wasn't standing outside in front of Target your information that asked for it, you know, at the gas station or something? No. But they pull on your purse, they pull on your heart, right, or whatever, or sign this, give me your address, and then they start stealing your identity. So one more question.
Yeah.
Because a few years ago I got my purse stolen, and that was really bad. It took me about 3 months. I mean, it wasn't really bad because I didn't have any backlash from it. But is it still better to do that?
I mean, you could have a couple credit cards, but leave them at home in a safe, hidden place, you know, because in case you get broken into. It's a crazy world, isn't it? Yes. I mean, I would carry maybe two credit cards just in case one doesn't work or something like that. You don't want to be out somewhere and not have to get gas or something. But the less things you can carry, the better, because obviously your purse or our wallets or your car, we haven't talked about all that other kind of stuff that they can steal from, But yeah, the less credit cards you carry or even have, it's probably better. But that's a personal thing. But as far as carrying them on your person, the less the better.
Well, the one thing too, I don't mean to scare you, but because all our credit cards now transmit, they have transmitters in them. That's how you can basically wave your credit card over the top of a reader. Your credit card is transmitting information. The good news is they make wallets and purses that basically, right, they block the RFID signal so that it can't be stolen. But there are crooks who literally will walk through grocery stores or walk through crowded places with an RFID reader that is basically gathering all the credit card numbers of everyone who has a credit card that's not protected. I carry credit cards, but my wallet is RFID protected. So I would just strongly, most places that sell wallets and purses now sell those types of sleeves that you can put your credit card into. But be aware that your credit card is constantly, like right now, if I had an RFID reader on my computer and anyone in this vicinity had a credit card, it would be downloading onto my computer while I'm sitting here talking. By the way, there's no RFID on there, and I'm not doing that, but that's what could be done.
And just remember, if that ever happens to you, the credit card company, you call them, and they'll honor that. And they, I mean, we've gotten, my wife and I have gotten several calls, did you buy this? No. You know? So they have to get a new credit card, right? They cancel that one out, and they send you a new one. But hey, we're going to be around for questions, so... It's almost 7:20, so we want to kind of cut this off. We said 7.
7:30.
7:30.
7:30.
I'm sorry.
That's right.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's my bedtime.
RFD.
The sleeves, do those go bad or anything like that? Do you have to replace them? How long do they last?
Not that I'm aware of. I mean, I don't think they go bad. They're just basically blocking your credit card from transmitting outside of that wallet or that sleeve. Yeah.
You have to think like a thief, unfortunately. Right? In a way, when we're in law enforcement, that's what we have to do sometimes. You got to think like a thief. And so anything you can do to protect yourself, go into a building. Don't give out your credit card information over the phone. Don't get some of these text messages. Don't respond to them. Don't feel like you have to do any of this stuff. I bet you if you went to your phone right now and you open it up and you went to your spam, I bet you would look at all, you see all these things that are fraudulent. And if you clicked on one of them, they got your phone. Right? Or if you're given some personal identification, they got your ID. So it's unfortunate, but that's the world we live in. So.
What about mortgage theft? I've heard of that, and I know I've heard of a company called Home Title Lock on Fox, which and I'm just wondering if that's a real thing where people steal your stuff.
Yeah. The question is, have you heard about like mortgage theft? And there's a lot of advertising that goes on, and there's Home Title Lock. That can happen, but and you could use a paid service. You also can sign up with your counties, where your county assessor, and basically get an email every single time that someone changes your title, or like I have that set up, and my name Chase is not super uncommon, and so there are I'll get like an email alert from the county assessor to anything basically in the general area where I live where somebody by the name of Chase changed something in there with the assessor. So it's not super widespread. It does happen, but there are also free services through the assessor that you can sign up for. Yes. No. The question is, if you use your cell phone and you're not on Wi-Fi, you're using your cell phone through the data plan that you have. Currently, I'm not aware of any scammers who can get into the cellular network. It may happen at some point, but the cellular networks are secure. And so you should be just fine using the cellular network. And if you are in a, let's say you are in a resort that does provide Wi-Fi, but it's a unique code just to you, then you're safe to use that Wi-Fi. Right. As long as it's not like your last name, Smith, room 402 is the password. And then everyone in the hotel now knows that, well, I'm not going to use my Wi-Fi to go do dirty deeds. I'm going to, I overheard, Mrs. Smith, and she's in room 402. So that becomes, if it's a unique password that is only to you and you're the only one who has it, that is just like using it at home. Which, by the way, just real quick at home, if you have Wi-Fi at home, which everybody does, please don't make your password 123 password or password 123 or anything like that, because there are also hackers who will go around neighborhoods and basically look for Wi-Fi broadcasts, and they have computers that will run through all the general passwords that everybody uses, like password.
And don't use your kids' names and that kind of stuff. Yeah, that's that's a great point, Dennis. That's a really good point that we didn't put on the resources. But yeah, thank you for that. That is, you put that credit freeze on and you're protected in a lot of different ways by doing that. Thanks for that. And it's free, yeah. Yes, ma'am.
When you use your credit card or debit card at the store or shopping, you have three options. You can put it in to scan the sign on the card, or you can put it in or you can slide.
The safest one right now is where you tap. That's the question is, sorry about that. The question is, you have three options when you use a credit card. You can put it in a chip reader, you can slide it, or you can tap it. Currently, the safest way is probably tapping. The middle is the sliding it in the card reader. The least safe is the old-fashioned slide it. Okay.
So they can put little devices inside that or over the top of it that makes it look like it's exactly, a regular store one or a gas station one, and they're collecting your information. They'll steal your credit card.
A lot of cards have the chip reader.
Yep.
This is more organic. Has to do with the Trader Joe's. Trader Joe's isn't doing anything wrong. About 4 or 5 years ago, a close friend of mine came home and their wallet was stolen out of their purse and they didn't know where. Long story short, security comes by from the woods, police department comes down, some other agency came down. They said a statement that was a little scary, and it was more for women, so don't let your guard down even organically. That when they're shopping, they put their purse right on the top, and they go over, they bend over, look at this, and they said at the time, again, nothing against Trader Joe's, my favorite place, but that there was a ring of people. They got more complaints and cases filed from some ring of people that figured out, oh, they're seniors, they're not paying attention, and it's real easy to take the wallet. And it presented problems. They eventually found the wallet 2 months later in Santa Ana, accidentally kicked in the street, which was amazing. But 3, 6, 9, and 12 months later, after freezes were put on accounts, changed, they did everything by the book, like you guys are suggesting, people were still attempting that their credit card numbers got on some black web where they kept being charged with all kinds of expensive items. So it's just be cautious when you have your purse up on the top thing. Yeah. We get too comfortable.
No, it's a great point. And the criminals sit around 365, you know, 24/7 to steal stuff. We talked about that earlier. And that's a great point. And it's not only just leaving the cart, but carrying it. A lot of the women carry it with the strap on, and the purse is behind you. You know, they have techniques where they can cut, make a quick cut in your purse. And if it's behind you, you won't even feel it. And this is what we experienced when we were in Israel. Right, or when you're in Europe, it's really but it's happening in the United States too. They'll have a really sharp object and they cut your purse, ladies, and they'll just all they want to do is just grab your wallet, and before you know it, they're gone. You know, so.
How can you check the dark web? Well,
oh, that's okay.
What about these VPN services that double encrypt your Wi-Fi? Is that useful?
The question is about VPN, which stands for Virtual Private Network. A VPN is the safest way to go on the internet, is to use a VPN. A lot of companies now, like if you have certain cable companies and things like that, they're including the option of VPNs. In essence, without going too nerdy technical on you, it encrypts everything you send or receive from your computer. So a VPN is a very good service. It makes it that much harder for a scammer or a hacker to grab your data. I personally use a VPN on my computers whenever I'm on the internet.
Yes, ma'am.
It's been happening a lot at Costco. I've been warning women because they leave their handbag there and they just take the wallet. And I saw something on Nextdoor, but it's happening. And Costco doesn't do anything. I thought, why don't we put cops in front? They're working in two and fours. So it's happening a lot, but Costco doesn't do anything.
It's not just Costco.
I know.
You have to be, I hate to say this, I'm going to tell you what's going on in California and across this nation. Is you look at California, they've reduced felonies to misdemeanors to infractions, and there's no bail. They're closing jails. They're doing all this stuff in favor of the criminal. So you have to be on guard. It's unfortunate, but you have to be your own police officer, basically, you know? Because every way you turn around, you see it on the news, right? And when you see something really bad, you go, oh my gosh, I hope that guy's in jail. Well, they get in, and they're out before the police officer is even leaving the jail himself doing the paperwork. So just know that. And, you know, the biggest thing you can do is your vote.
Vote.
Vote and know who you're voting for and that kind of stuff. I know we're kind of getting off topic, but
Yeah. But
you know, that's the reality. And it's not only with your ID, credit cards, and all that kind of stuff, it's your homes, it's your cars, it's everything. Don't leave anything in your car at night. You know, take it in the house or put it in the trunk. I wouldn't even recommend that, but if you put it in the trunk where people can't see it, maybe, but they'll steal the car. And they'll steal the car and whatever you have in the trunk they have anyhow. So
We will stick around at 7:30, and as a chief, he doesn't pay overtime. So I will just leave you with this thought. If you believe in Jesus Christ, you have the Holy Spirit living in you, and the Holy Spirit is your protector. And if you are constantly calling on the Holy Spirit to watch over you, I believe the Holy Spirit will watch over you. And oftentimes when these scammers come and they come to you, the reality is the Holy Spirit's going to be whispering in your ear, this is a scam. Something just doesn't feel right. So I would implore you to listen to that still small voice, because oftentimes our helper is trying to help us.
And I'm going to close it out in prayer. And we'll be around for any questions, okay? Father God, we just thank you for this evening. Thank you for just the opportunity to get together and gather and learn from each other, Lord. And I just pray, Lord, that you would protect not only everybody here, but all our families and friends, Lord, and put it on the hearts of those who want to steal from us to change their ways, Lord, that they would, our goal really, Lord, is that they would come to know you. Because, Lord, I just can't understand how somebody would do that and also say they know you. So I'm figuring they don't know you. But, Lord, so I just pray for that, Lord, and that you would reach their hearts, Lord, to turn from theft. And, Lord, just as we go from here, will you just protect everybody as they drive home and protect their families? And, again, Lord, just so grateful for the church here that we get to be a partner in this way. So we pray this in your precious and holy name.
Amen. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.